On the show today, we have CU 2.0's Kirk Drake, Commonwealth Federal Credit Union's very own Frank Wasson, and Constellation's very own Chris Kovacs, all talking about the big brainstorm event taking place next week, Thursday, January 20th at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And Kirk, Frank, and Chris are all here to give us their perspective on this great event, so check it out. So we're talking about today the big brainstorm event that you guys did last year, Kirk, and now we're doing it again this year. And it's kind of a sneak preview, if you will. And I'm really excited about this because I actually participated in it last year. I was one of the facilitators, and it was a really fun event and super informative as well. Tons of takeaways. So really, really good stuff here. And with that said, I mean, Kirk, I'm going to let you start out. Just kind of give folks out there, maybe there's two or three people out there who haven't heard of it. If you want to give us a quick refresher on the brainstorm event, sure. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, so our goal is really how to kind of really make a dynamic conference from a content perspective with lots of speakers, make it two-way conversations around those areas where we need to be curious as credit unions or as fintechs and those intersections within that. We always kind of build around our goal, which is how do we make credit unions the dominant player at the intersection of legacy financial services and fintech, right? And so the topics, the way we pick them are Fintech Mastermind gets a survey of about 25 topics. They vote on them. And then we pick the six from them, the six that had the highest votes. Those get all the panelists from within the community and from experts outside. A little different this year, there'll be five to six panelists on every group. So the idea is everybody gets like 2 to 3 minutes to kind of introduce their perspective, and then it immediately moves into facilitated question and answer, live chat going with the audience. People can jump in. We use Zoom very intentionally so that it's it really is dynamic, and you have no idea what's going to happen in each of the sessions. And then the killer crazy logistics part of it is about a day before the event, we will send out the six topics to all the participants who are planning on coming. I think we have 200 or 300 registered at this point. Of course, love to have more. But everybody then votes on the six topics, and we don't reveal till the next morning. Probably get an email the night before, just so people can do a little bit of planning. That topic number two will go first. Topic okay. 3, 4, 5, and 6 go in parallel, and then topic one goes last. Right.
Okay.
So, yep. But we don't even know what order they're going to be in until the night before.
Right on.
which definitely creates a little bit of chaos. Occasionally, things go horribly wrong, and that's okay.
That's the beauty of going live, right? You never know what's going to happen. So it's a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. So good stuff. Yeah, we're going to go over the topics in a little bit, but first we're going to talk to Frank and Chris about their participation, their take on it. Frank, I'm going to start with you. What's your take on the brainstorm event from the credit union perspective? And don't forget that you're on mute.
Kind of killing that background noise with the cause in the background. So as a credit union leader, the things I focus on are, we're a smaller institution, less than $1 billion. So every moment, every investment dollar counts in terms of where we spend our time. And, you know, when I look at this event, you go to the website, it really says it in one word, and that is next level, two words, actually. And what you're talking about is how you're able to gain higher order conversations with like-minded individuals, executives, as well as fintechs, both sides of the aisle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's just great quality conversations. Sometimes when you want to get good information from other leaders or other fintechs, sometimes there's a bit of a sales hook attached to that. No offense, Chris. But you get these bright minds like Chris, essentially contributing his time to these conversations, allows you to really have good, unvarnished conversations about what's most important for you as a leader in the credit union industry. And, you know, where I am and where we are trying to go on our trajectory, we need the most efficient and most effective conversations that are there. And I believe this conference it increases my efficiency and effectiveness on finding the answers for our institution by, 10 or 25 fold. So it's just a great use of time, and I would highly recommend it.
And Frank, Kirk now has a macaw in his background.
I'm feeling
scared of the tropics. I didn't know they had those types of birds in Oregon, Chris. So
it's almost on your shoulder there. Yeah,
that's a good look. But I think Frank, you've stumbled upon a new tagline for the Brainstorm event: effective and efficient conversations. So, Kirk, you might want to use that for the next round. So.
Yeah.
and that's so true, because I mean, experiencing it last year, I mean, we really got to the heart of the matter really, really quickly, and there was no time wasted. And like you said, the conversations are very unvarnished; they're raw, and you get to what you want to talk to really, really quickly. So good stuff. So,
Our goal is to try and have competing viewpoints, right? Like on there, because I think that's where the interesting piece goes on. And I always think back of my first QSO event, which had Dave Servo from PSU and Randy Carnes on a panel. And there was a third guy, I have no idea who it was, and I don't think he got a word in edgewise. And the two of them were arguing about should a QSO rebate fees if the QSO is profitable, or should they provide a discount up front? And it was the first time as a young credit union, I was probably 23, 24 at the time, where I saw two credit union related CEOs having a full on knockdown argument and not just playing nice, right? And I don't think either perspective is wrong. I think they both serve different communities, different approaches, depending on what's going on in that QSO. But I thought it was a really, like, that was that moment I was like, oh, like, we're getting the truth. Right?
Yes.
That's when you can iterate faster, is when you get the truth quicker.
Yeah, talk about raw. Oh my gosh. All right, Chris, I'm coming to you from kind of the vendor, the QSO perspective. What's your take on this event?
Yeah, so I'm really, thanks Kirk for including us. And you know, I have found great value in being part of the FinTech Mastermind group. And then in this in particular, what's great about it is from a vendor perspective, and I'll try to make it sales adjacent, Frank, and not just direct sales. But the value is that, you know, credit unions do a lot of things very, very well, but we can oftentimes get caught up in the following the pack in some cases. And when you do that, you don't necessarily always understand what the underlying drivers of the decision are. So this is an opportunity for us to get together and talk about what are the drivers of the decisions you need to make as a credit union to be a part of that. And from a fintech vendor perspective, I get to both be a part of that, to inform part of that if I think some of that's important, but I also get to listen to the marketplace, right? These credit unions are talking about how they perceive things, how they see things, what their threats are, what their opportunities are. And you as a vendor can absorb that and hear that and then bake that into your offering, how you talk with credit unions in the future. Certainly you're going to get contacts from being able to, you know, meet, you know, great leaders like Frank and others. But it's also going to be very, very important, like pulling all of that information in and making your product and your offering better.
Yep. Yeah. Indeed. Well said. Frank, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback on that as well. You know, the thing that we advocate for at my credit union is really building scale within our leadership, and it all revolves around, you know, a concept of informed decision making. And to me, this forum really strikes at the heart of being able to get folks good information so that they can understand their perspective. And when you think about what individual credit union leaders are having to focus on and trying to kind of dissolve all this information, many of us have kind of been in this space for many years and kind of can sift around it, see it from both sides. A lot of leaders are entering the conversation at multiple entry points. So their perspective is always, always different. And that's always been the coaching I've always wanted to give to the fintech leaders, is try to get in the mind and the head of the credit union executive, because they're trying to sort out the truth from the falsehoods and what's real and what's really a shadow. And these conversations kind of help cut to that conversation much more quickly. Yeah. So that's what I love about it.
Yeah, you have the opportunity to talk to credit union executives, in some cases, especially this next generation of credit union executives that are coming up, before too much of that how we make decisions is really formed, right? Because unfortunately, one of the things we've seen in the industry, and I think Kirk does a great, I'm going to try to point to him, I think Kirk does a great job really challenging.
Very good.
It is, hey, we've made decisions that X way for 20 years now, and we need to somehow break through the mental models that are there with new information, with new insights, and that's something that I think this can really provide.
And one more thought in that space, yeah, too. I don't know whether or not this is going to be a change in the process or not, but the way we tended to engage fintechs, or back in the days, it was a vendor relationship, always arm's length, always look at three bids, always put them through some god-awful RFP process that really, does that get you closer to making a decision? You have to rethink what a fintech partnership looks like, and you really do have to have shared perspectives and shared values, and both kind of take a little bit of a risk. So if I can see on the other side that the fintech actually has a little bit of skin in the game, as well as the credit union, I'm willing to go down that path. And if it doesn't work out the way we thought it was, then we'll find some other opportunity. But I'm trying not to spend so much time. Certainly, you want to be informed of what the marketplace looks like. But the whole concept of evaluating fintech relationships the old way through RFP and 300, you know, question forms, I think that's kind of in the past. And we really just need to engage each other on the same platform so we can find out where are the common values and how we can move the credit union industry forward.
And it sounds like this event is that stepping stone toward that, right? I mean, this,
yes.
I mean, again, going back to the raw conversations, or the efficient and the effective conversations, really get you there. Sounds like get you there quicker. And speaking of that, Kirk, I'm going to do a little speed round, a little lightning round here on the topics that you talked about earlier. So can you present those real quick? And Chris and Frank, if you guys have any comments on some of these topics, feel free to jump in as well.
Sure. Yeah. So there's six topics that we have so far, in no particular order at this point, right? So they are just the raw fintech partnerships and consolidation. So one of the things that we're starting to hear some rumors of are, you know, you got multiple fintechs doing the same kind of thing. Are they going to start rolling up as VC says, okay, you're better at this piece, you're better at this piece together, you know, one and one makes three. So let's start combining these, and what's that going to mean, and how's that going to work, and how to structure your partnership deals to take advantage of that, right? So you don't just get kicked to the curb, or you've really got that broader awareness. The second one is autonomous and artificial intelligence in banking and credit unions. This is a really interesting one. We've got a couple interesting fintechs that have some really cool future forward ways of thinking about this. Some just doing, you know, AI underwriting and leveraging the tools in that regard, and a pretty good mix of those guys planned in that regard. Crypto for credit unions is our third topic. Crushed last time, went really, really well. Yeah. This, I think, will be every bit as good. We've got, I'm working on trying to, if anybody knows anybody from Idaho Central, please send them my way. I'm trying to get them on the panel because they've actually gone live.
Have they? Oh, wow.
With this solution. I know there's three or four perspectives on whether it's treasury management, whether it's for your consumers, your members, or whether it's some other esoteric blockchain crypto kind of thing. And so there's some really interesting pieces of that, and it's developing quickly in that regard. Then we've got fintech service bus and kind of speeding up the integration and digestion of these. I think we put Chris into being on that one, but we've got a couple other folks in on that as well that I think have some really unique perspectives on what that looks like. Fintech lending strategies. Basically, we all need loans, right? This is all about, we must have 25 different fintechs that we're aware of that are generating huge volumes of loans for credit unions, and figured out how to memorize them, and move the system, participate them, and all the tech that goes behind that, and some really interesting lending models in that will be on that one. And then finally, 2022 non-interest income strategies.
That'll be a quiet one.
And to me, all of these come back to the how do we make decisions, which I have a rant, which is at its core, what I tell fintechs is it's whatever's going on the balance sheet right now, right? So whether it's loan growth, that's the first criteria. Second criteria is employee efficiency and employee satisfaction. The third is probably member consideration and member value. I wish these were not the order it is. I'm just telling you what I've seen after 25 years of how credit unions actually make decisions. The fourth is some sort of expense reduction, and the fifth is profitability, net income, right? And if you look at most decisions credit unions make, they go through that process. And so if your solution hits three or four of those, right, and they're on the right side of deposits or loans at that given freakish macroeconomic moment in time, right, then you get the speed at the top and cut the line.
I love it. You know, with my credit union lens on, I looked at that first topic and thought it was a typo, and I thought it read fintech partners or consolidation. People need to have that in the back of their mind, is thinking, yeah. You need to get in the pool. The water is nice. You have to start engaging, or other options start to become more prevalent.
And I do think that's a phenomenal topic too, because I think fintech partnerships can save us from consolidation.
Oh, completely.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think they can really. I mean, there's a lot of credit, 50-60% loan to share right now. Partnering with a fintech that can go add 5-6% on that can be a pretty significant lifeline. I will add, don't just spend the additional proceeds the way you spent it yesterday. Allocated towards something new, future thinking, so you get out of the trap of paying yesterday's bills with today's money.
Chris, do you have anything else to add on this? On these?
Yeah, well, I was laughing at consolidation one of the things I talk about all the time is that, you know, if we're going to attract the next generation of credit union members, the way we're going to do that is by delivering fintech-like delivery models. And you know, that's what consumers who aren't credit union members yet are expecting. And that's the value, one of the great values of fintechs. Now, Kirk's right. What we're seeing, even on our side, is the fintechs we work with are, they're looking at similar or services that are kind of 2 + 2 = 5, right, by putting them together. And they're saying, wait a minute, I can do this and I can do this. And we're seeing on our side all kinds of really promising consolidation there. So I think that's going to be a really good topic to talk about.
I'm going to love the service bus conversation. I imagine you'll be right in the middle of that one, Chris.
Yeah,
it's not a first play by most credit unions. They're probably not thinking about this ahead of time. No. So I think it's a good dialogue.
This is very much thinking about how we make the decision to connect, right? And for integration has been the problem of partnerships dating back to as long as I've been in the credit union industry, right? Which, if you're keeping track at home, is a very long time. But you know, it's there are emerging models that can make that much easier, much quicker. But that you have to understand what are the trade-offs of that, because if you go into an RFP that, to your point, if you go into an RFP that says I'm picking provider X and I have to have these connection points. Yeah. Then fintech will never be able to live up to those connection points.
Right.
That's designed for the very large providers, solution providers in our marketplace. So the fintech ESB is a very interesting, promising model that's emerging that we're very excited about.
Cool. And I think without a doubt, all these topics are going to be home runs. So you're not gonna miss either any of them that you're going to attend to. So good stuff here, Kirk. What do you want attendees to gain here? What are some some takeaways? What do you want them to go back to their office on Monday morning, so to speak, with?
Yeah. So one of the big things I always want people to remember is we tend to form preconceived notions and see, especially as leaders of credit, we see these patterns. We think we see these patterns much earlier than most people around us. And most of the people around us give us confirmation bias, saying, oh, you're smart, you saw this before everybody else. Mm-hmm. You're really at the top of the hill of stupid, right? And whatever pattern you thought is probably not actually the pattern, right? And be curious about the next step to kind of, before, because otherwise you end up in the valley of stupid, right? And the sooner you can recognize that where you are in that trajectory and what you saw in the pattern, what you think you saw, and challenge your preconceived notion, you're going to be able to make a better decision, the faster and more helpful for your organization. So I think that's a key piece. A, get exposed to every single one of these panels are going to have 3 or 4 interesting fintechs on them and 1 or 2 interesting credit unions. Already doing this stuff. So again, you know, giving you some real ammo of interesting things out there that are coming in that regard. And then I think, you know, just have fun and be curious, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there, Kirk. You get an interesting mix of people in each of these groups. And the conversation, at least in our group last time around, the conversations were just so compelling. And it's like, and your eyes are just like this big around the whole time people are talking, like, really? Oh my gosh, you can do that, or you said that, or that's taking place. It's just really, I mean, yeah, kind of gives me goosebumps right now. So yeah, it's really, really cool. And like you said, Frank, it's these raw, effective, efficient conversations that really get the ball moving forward.
I think it just surfaces potential opportunities and conversations. I always, in each of these sessions, find a leader in there that I had not known about well.
Yep.
And certainly I know most of the players from the fintech perspective, but you'll find out about a credit union and, you know, even one that's our size, kind of in that sub-billion-dollar stage, that really is getting it done. And you're just so happy that they actually showed up in this this forum to share their story and be able to make those contacts. So I'm always able to pick up at least one to two in each one of these sessions. And to me, that's the value that you walk away with.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. And the next thing before we let you guys go, is let's do a quick date, time, all that type of stuff, Kirk. It's Thursday, January 20th. And what time does it start again?
I don't know when time it starts. I haven't gotten that far ahead of my
I head. Have 8:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock PST, Pacific time.
Breakfast, Pacific. Yes.
Breakfast. And it's all virtual, all by Zoom. And so that usually makes it pretty dynamic and makes it pretty accessible to everybody in that respect.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes by really fast, too. So you're on your toes the entire time, I guarantee it. So, all right, guys. Well, I know you have a lot of work to do, and I want to get to my last question. Anything else here to wrap up? Chris, I'm going to let you go first. Anything else here to wrap up, to wrap our conversation up in a nice bow?
Yeah, I would just encourage, again, credit unions and fintechs to sign up for this. I think this is going to be a really valuable event.
Indeed. Indeed. Yep. Frank, any final words?
You know, I would just say it's not a session just for CEOs and CIOs. You want everybody on your C-suite in this session. Informed decision-making is going to be key for us over the next couple of years. And this is a great first step to getting into that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives you a voice, too. This is your chance
absolutely.
To speak up, for sure. And Kirk, you and your macaw, any final words?
it's going to be a great event. It's always dynamic. It's always fun. I will add, because you'll only get a short period of time to decide on topics 3 through 6, which one you want to attend. Now, you can, in the meeting, switch between them, right? So if you go to one and it's ended up not going the way you thought it would, you can ghost it and switch to the other room. It's one of the things I like about it, too, is you can kind of pull that quick exit when no one's looking. Unlike if you were actually in a conference and you were that weird guy in the front row that got 7 minutes in. So it definitely makes it interesting. But you do also have to pick of those four which one is the most interesting to you.
Right. Well, I think, I think we go back to I think each topic's going to be a no-brainer, a solid home run. So you're not going to lose any which way. So good stuff. All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to let y'all get back to work. I don't know what's up with my Southern stuff here today, but I'm going to let you guys get back to work.
Works for me.
So thank you so much. Really looking forward to this. Again, Thursday, January 20th, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. Be there or be square, because you're going to have some really good conversations, compelling stuff. And as Frank said, raw conversation.
Yes, unvarnished.
That's right. Unvarnished. There you go. And they're going to be efficient and effective as well. All right, guys. Let y'all go. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing
you
guys on Thursday next week.
We'll see you there.
Take care.
Well done, guys. Thanks, well done, lads.
Mike.